All right, I guess we'll go ahead and get started. Welcome to the board. Welcome to the City of Knoxville Board of Zoning Appeals. My name is Daniel Odle, and I'm chair of the BZA. I'll be conducting today's meeting. Alongside me are the other members of the BZA. At the tables across the room over here are city staff members. Today's meeting will be conducted in the order of the agenda. Agendas are available at the table near the entrance, which actually are this. Julianne, are they right over here in the front right now? Okay. Pursuant to the BZA's administrative rules, each matter on the agenda will be considered in the following order. Staff comments, proponents, opponents, rebuttals, discussion among board members, motion and a second, discussion among board members, and then a vote. Members of the public may address the board, and the following rules will apply. Each person may speak once for 5 minutes and shall not have more than one time to speak, except that the chair may allow 2 minutes to the applicant for rebuttal. When more than one person wants to speak to an issue, each side is limited to three speakers with 5 minutes each. The board may ask questions of any speaker and may allow more time or more speakers by a vote. Speakers should limit their remarks to the facts of the case and should avoid repeating comments that have previously been presented to the board. All speakers should come to the podium and speak directly into the microphone. Speakers need to state their name and address for the record. Appeals of decisions by BZA are made to the Knoxville City Council. A petition for such appeal shall be filed with the Plans Review and Building Inspections Department not more than 15 days from the date of BZA's application. I will now ask Ms. LeClaire to call the roll.
Christina Bowler.
Here.
Don Horton.
Here.
David Dupree.
Present.
Daniel Odle.
Here. Okay, let's go ahead and start with our first agenda item, 2A20VA. It's 2301 Jefferson Avenue. Is there anyone here to speak to this this application? Please state your name and address for the record. And actually, 1 second, sir, I forgot one item. I apologize. Okay. Usually we have minutes to approve at the beginning of each meeting. And this month we actually need to make a motion to defer our January 2020 minutes to our next meeting, which would be the March 2020 meeting.
I second that motion.
Okay, a motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, thank you. I apologize for that.
No,
go ahead and tell us about your application.
My name is Christopher Bush. It's 10101 Westland Drive. It's pretty straightforward. This subdivision, it's Park City, Park Ridge. It was developed about 130 years ago, so the existing lots do not meet the current zoning ordinance. And we're simply requesting that the front setback come from required 25 to 13, which is in line with the other houses on the street. And then this is a corner lot, which in the current zoning requires 25, or a front setback, as you know, at the front, and we're requesting that go down to 8'4". The plans are being pulled under the new zoning, or the new code, so the setbacks are 15-foot total, minimum of 5, so that 8'4" setback meets the current zoning ordinance as well. For small lots of record.
Okay, thank you. Did we have any staff comments on this agenda item?
There are no staff comments.
All right. Is anyone here to speak in opposition to this item? Okay, seeing none. Discussion. So this appears to be a small lot of record over in the old Park Ridge neighborhood.
You said it's under the new code, not the former code?
So, we haven't obviously filed for permit yet, so everything will fall under the new zoning. The new zoning is a total of 15-foot setbacks, a minimum of 5, so which our setbacks exceed that.
No, the application was reviewed under the former zoning ordinance, which required the 25-foot front setbacks on both Jefferson and Olive. It was approved by the Historic Zoning Commission on January 2020.
Right.
And so we, in turn, had received the application beforehand to be reviewed under the
Yeah, actually, you're correct. I apologize. I did misspeak there. So this was initially applied. So actually, this will be under the previous zoning ordinance as well, because the building width of the building wouldn't meet the new zoning. So everything was submitted last year in December. And yes, it was approved by the historic committee.
Okay, great. Any questions? Other questions?
I'll make a motion that we approve these variances in that they are a small lot and pretty much conform with the adjacent properties. So,
second.
All right, motion is second. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion passes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next item is 2B20VA. It's 109 James Agee Street. Do we have any staff comments on this item? Go ahead and come up.
No, just to provide some clarity, the only reason you're hearing any variances today are because of the addition associated with the project. Which requires us to measure to a property line, and it obviously needs to be a lot of record. And so there's two types of variances in here. One is, let me get back to it. Sorry about that. Lost my train of thought.
Mm-hmm.
So legalizing the lot and recognizing existing conditions.
Right. Okay. Go ahead and state your name and address for the record, please.
Hey, I'm Adam Hedriwa. Like to do some work here at 109 James Agee. If it's allowed, I have some photos that I could pass to you guys while we talk, you can look at.
Sure, that'd be great. Just give them to Juliana there. Thank you.
Do they have four?
You want to go ahead and tell us about your application and what you're asking for and about the property?
Sure. So I just bought this property a couple months back. It's been abandoned for some decades now, and I am attempting to renovate it and add an addition to that north side. As indicated here, we have a lot coverage from 59%. We're asking to go up to 70% with an impervious surface of 60%, asking for 71, and then all the setbacks on each side to be adjusted for these changes.
Okay.
In this packet that I have of some photos, we have one. The first page is this property, 109 James Agee. There's a 3D rendering. I had an architect have kind of a rendered drawing of my proposed idea. And then the second page is a H1 property that I had done a couple years back, also in Fort Sanders.
Okay. Thank you. I need to ask very quickly, is there anyone here opposed to this application? None. Okay. I need to ask if there's any questions, board members. Adam, how long has this property been? Do you have any idea how long it's been this size, the lot? Have you done any history on the...
Actually, maybe my surveyor could give you some more information.
Great.
On it.
I'm curious, yeah.
I signed the sheet as well.
Just state your name. Yeah.
I'm Danny Oliver, 215 South Hobbs Road. I signed a sheet as well as a speaker. I didn't know if Adam would need me to speak or not, but I'll post it on the plat. I put at least back to nearly 100 years, so 1921 was the same lot size. And at that point, I thought, well, I think the point was made. So I let it be. I didn't take it back any farther than that. But it was a lot of record. And something that Adam was talking about all the variances going to be requested today, not all are for the changes. Some of them are just existing conditions of the home. Just the front, looking at the plat, the northeast corner being extended for his staircase they want to add inside the home. But the other corners where the existing house is how it's been. And the deed going back to 1921 continued to reference the house that was on the lot that was a large portion of the lot, which I thought was unique as well.
Thank you. Any other questions? Or
so, go ahead. 1921 was the year the current building was built.
No, so that's just that's where I went back, and that's where I actually stopped doing deed research was when I hit 1921. Same description as I saw in current deeds as well. I didn't trace it back to see exactly the date of the house. Adam, you may know when the house was built.
Yeah, the seller told me it was built in 1910.
What is the need for the addition?
I wanted to make this house a single-family residence, and currently there is a staircase leading to the basement, and it's not up to code. It's 24 inches wide, so we would be having to build a staircase to have access to that downstairs area for us to have kind of that single-family use.
Is it a below-ground basement or just a second floor that comes down?
The topography would allow it to kind of show as two floors. So if you see in that rendered drawing, it would be very similar to that. That terrain line is fairly accurate on that foundation.
So there's not a below ground basement is what you're saying?
Yeah, it's partial.
Okay.
So if I understand correctly, it could be used as a single family residence, but in order to use the basement, you would need to create the addition to have that be per code?
Yes.
Okay.
The impervious surface is the roof of the building. There's no additional hard surface on the site. Is that the percentages match very close to total lot coverage and the and the impervious surface. Is there anything else involved in that?
No, the impervious surface is just a little larger because there's a small concrete sidewalk pathway leading to the front porch.
Okay.
The current structure appears to have what looks like a driveway with a garage-looking type structure there on the house. And your rendering doesn't have, or at least I can't see a garage. Are you trying to get rid of the garage and not have any off-street parking?
So that room now, it may look like a garage, but it's kind of, that door where it sits at about 7 feet wide and with about 7 foot height down there in that basement. With that proposed addition, we would be adding heated square footage on both floors. So as part of this variance, we wanted to reduce the parking spaces from, currently it's very hard to access parking. When I first got it, I drive a 2010 F-150, and I drove it on that curb cut, and my bumper fell off because it hit the sidewalk. So it's very hard to get a car there naturally. So that's kind of the idea behind kind of turning that space into interior space.
Chairman Rollin, can I ask a quick question? Just to clarify, did I hear you say that you're putting the stairwell in the new addition?
Yes.
Okay.
the addition to the house would not just be part that you're putting on upstairs, is also extending the house in one of the directions or something?
Yeah, it would be flushing out the house on the north side as well as on the east side. So that front-facing, you could see by that rendering kind of how we would bring it flush to that other gable wall in the front, and then as well on that side we would bring it flush to the end of that north wall.
He's bringing this out.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions or comments? Or do I have a motion?
I would add one more comment.
Sure.
I'm currently not comfortable with the reducing the parking from 2 spaces to 0 as that particular area is booming and is getting congested, and city seems to disfavor getting rid of all the parking at this point. And so I'm thinking it would be a good thing to at least have one space, if not the 2, instead of going from 2 spaces to no spaces, and just depending on off-street parking.
Okay. Would you like to put that to motion, or would you want to have a motion?
Have Danny address something about the parking as well?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. That'd be great. It's fine.
So the picture suggests that there's parking there, but there's the parking is essentially non-existent. The property corner for this lot actually is in the there's a slight piece of concrete going to the neighbor's stairway. And that's where the property corner is. So the topography of the lot, I was surprised when I surveyed the lot that there was a curb cut there, because I thought, where in the world are they going to park? Because there's the lot is like this as you're going in, and without some structural improvements to actually the lot itself with retainage, you know, a structure or something like that, it wouldn't be advisable to use that for existing parking now. It's essentially non-existent.
Yeah.
So isn't that a possibility?
Excuse me.
What you just suggested, is that not a viable?
I just wanted to make the statement that the existing parking today is not existent. It really doesn't exist. I mean, there's a curb cut, but to pull a car in and out of that lot right now is one, not safe because of the topography. To me, it looks like it had been changed over the years. But while it's, you know, going from two spots to no spots, I would say that it's existing right now. No spots exist right now safely, you know, for anybody to use. That's an observation I just want to share with everybody.
My perspective on it is that a house built in 1910 was built for a different type of vehicle, probably, mm-hmm. than what's there now, what's possible there now. And it may not have actually been used for parking at any point. Anyways, it may have just been access to a small garage that existed underneath the house. It is an extraordinarily small lot, and it's been that way forever, it appears. And it's also blighted property, and improving it would be beneficial to the overall neighborhood, not the detraction. This particular area, at this point in time, there's plenty of parking on the street available in that neighborhood, I would think. But you know, that's my observation, and I'm happy to make a motion, but that's my observation.
Well taken. Anybody else got any comments about that?
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve 2B20VA as it's submitted on the basis of the the fact that it is a small lot of record, small lot.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Are you going to vote?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed or in favor?
In favor.
In favor. Okay. Four in favor. Motion passes. Thank you very much. Next up, 2C20VA. That's 4120 Pleasant Ridge Road. We could step forward. Briefly ask comments from the city. Are there any comments from the city?
No comments.
Okay. Name and address for the record, please.
Right. Robert Marlino. The address is 118 Fronda Lane in Knoxville, 37920. So what we're proposing for this lot is a 30-unit apartment complex, and I assume you guys have the site plan, but it's a very narrow lot and presents many, many challenges. However, we meet the zoning code in all respects except for a 20-foot buffer at the bottom of the site. You can see that we do have a 20-foot buffer to the right, and we're asking for a reduction of the required 20-foot buffer from 20-foot to 10-foot one. And again, the primary reason is just being the narrowness of the site. I just want to mention that we've squeezed this lot as far as the building and required parking as far as we can. We've actually tried to reduce the width of the buildings themselves. The buildings are right up against the 5-foot utility easement line at the top of the lot. And we have a very, very small planting area between the sidewalks and the building, which is about 4 feet. So I think we've squeezed it as much as we possibly can. So we're asking for relief for that 20-foot landscape buffer. And I don't know if you guys wanted me to mention the landscape plan that was talked about earlier, okay, thank you.
Just a point of clarification. Mr. Marlino has referred to it as a landscape buffer, but it's actually the parking setback that's listed on your sheet there.
So oh, okay.
There's two requirements. There's a buffer, but what we're here today to hear is the parking setback reduction. The distance is the same, but they're two different sections of the code.
Gotcha. Thank you. Okay, I need to ask briefly, is there anyone here opposed to this application? All right, seeing none. Any comments from the board? Comments, questions?
Is there going to be a fence or something to separate the two or
the two complexes?
Yes.
Because we do have below is Meadowood Apartment Complex. It's going to be the same owner, and so he prefers not to do a fence because what they would like to do is share facilities with the new complex. So they would be sharing the clubhouse, they would be sharing the maintenance staff and the property management as well. So it's preferable to the owner to have it kind of blend in with the Meadowood complex, although it would be listed as a separate complex. So
just for my own clarity, Meadowood's to the south. Or
yes.
Page south, at least.
Yeah, wait a minute. Yes, it's to the south. I'm sorry. Getting my bearings on that. So.
Really more to the west, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'm just to the bottom of the page.
Yeah. Was there a survey or anything taken of the residents to see if they wanted to, were in favor of, having that openness or anything?
I can have Kim Rosen speak. She's on the sheet, but she can speak as a property owner of Meadowood, and she can speak to that if you'd like. So,
sure.
Hi, Kim Rosen, 2206 Cherokee Boulevard. As owners and management of Meadowood Apartments, no, we have not surveyed the residents. But the complex is, there is a blighted house, and it's a blighted property right now. So it would be an improvement that would benefit the Meadowood apartment community.
Okay. Thank you. Any other question or comment?
I would make a motion to approve on the basis of the narrowness of the lot.
Have a motion?
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right, next up is 2D20VA on a series of addresses. Old Vine, Harriet Tubman Street. And I need to ask if we have any comment from the city.
Sure. This is part of the redevelopment of Austin Homes through the Knoxville Community Development Corporation. The concept plan was recently approved by the Knox County planning staff in January 2020. And what the concept plan did was laid out the road configuration, geometry, as well as the number of lots. So what you have before you are two lots of the six lots that were recorded in the concept plan for the proposed development.
Thank you very much. Name and address for the record, and please tell us about the application.
Shannon Elliott, 2517 Jefferson Avenue, and I'm representing Johnson Architecture. And as you mentioned, this is a KCDC project. It's going to be over four phases. This is the first phase, phase 1A. Over the four phases, it'll have 400 plus or minus new units on site. The topography is really challenging, which Matt will speak to, but we are going for a more urban neighborhood feel in this area, given the proximity to downtown and the anticipated future growth that's happening now. And the setbacks are a little, the one that we're requesting that's on lot one with the 2-foot setback, eventually the second phase, the distance between the buildings will still meet that 15-foot minimum requirement. It's just the way the lots are divided at this time. It ends up being 2 feet off the property line. And then I'll probably let Matt jump in here as well.
Matt Brazil, 2704 Cherokee Farm Way. I represent Civil and Environmental Consultants. Just some general information about the site. The topography is extremely challenging. There's 57 feet of grade change from Summit Hill at the southern end of the site to the warehouse to the north. So as you can imagine, fitted in roads, parking, and building structures across that elevation change has been challenging. But going for the urban feel that we're trying to go for the neighborhood and fitting in parking that's hidden from the street while also allowing enough room for the proposed use and the proposed buildings, the setback variances will help us to do that. So, and as she said, the 2-foot requirement, there will still be 15 feet to the next structure on the adjacent lot. That's just for this lot in particular and to fit as many buildings as possible across the road frontage on that farthest north proposed road.
Thank you. I need to ask if there's anyone opposed. Seeing none, comments and questions from the board. I do. So I think you've answered my question, but there is a minimum between buildings, 15 feet.
Correct.
Which is part of what's establishing some of the layout on the site. And then the lot just happens to be getting plotted. Like, why is the lot line where it is there?
We have a master plan for all future phases. Mm-hmm. And the way that was designated was there'll be a sidewalk that bifurcates the property of that main section there, that whole shape, I guess. And so this first phase is about half of that, but the way that the second phase hits, that line just happened to come adjacent to the sidewalk that's going to cut through the property.
Okay. So it's just a result of the size of the initial project?
Correct.
Okay. I didn't have any other questions on this one. Did anyone else have any other questions or comments?
No other questions. I move we approve 2D20VA as submitted.
Second.
All right, a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion passes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we are done for the day, I believe.
Move adjourn.
Thank you.